Father, we thank you that our prayers rise as incense before you, that it is a sweet smelling fragrance. And Lord, we join together to pray and bring everything to your feet. I want to read out of Ephesians 3. If you'd like to have a seat, we're going to transition a little bit. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16. I would just encourage you to kind of close your eyes and just receive it right now. It says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down deep in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Father, we just receive that. That is your heart for us. And Lord, we come with expectation of good. Lord, I pray a blessing on every person that's here, whether they're here in the sanctuary with us, if they're joining us at home, Lord. Father, that we would know this word spoken to us, that it lodges in our hearts and it changes how we see you, how we see ourselves. God, I pray each person would see themselves and see others the way that you see them. And we just give you the glory, Lord. We exalt you. It is but for your grace and your mercy that any of us are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, worship team. That's good. I want to take a couple of minutes. Good morning, by the way. I want to see your faces. Look at all those beautiful faces here. Wish I could see you online. I'll just picture you. So welcome home. I'm glad that you're here. And so we're just going to take a minute. We're going to pray together. One thing that we ask is that if there's anything that's on your heart, that just as a group, you know, God has said that, Jesus said that his house would be called a house of prayer. That's what God wants. He wants his house to be called a house of prayer. So we do that. And so some of the areas that we've been praying for are for the lost. We're praying for those that don't yet know Jesus to know him, truly know him, and have a relationship with him. Praying for those that have wandered away, prodigals, that they would come home, that they know they are welcomed with open arms, and that we delight to have them back, that they would find a place to land and draw close to God. We also want to pray for healing. There's been a number of people that have been battling different illnesses, but God is a big God, and we want to speak into that. Healing is the children's bread, right? So what are some other areas that we can be praying into? What's God been putting on your heart? Just from where you're at, you can pop your hand up. Those lost in addiction and everything that wraps itself around making that possible, we just break the spirit of addiction, woundedness, that there would be great healing. But also, just break the back of that spirit. That is an unholy spirit. And it tries to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Good. What else can we be praying for? Yes. Restoration and finances. Yes, Lord. Restoration in relationships, families, friendships. I guess that's all there is. New friendships, but restoration, where the enemy wants to come in and cause havoc. Have you ever noticed that? He's such a jerk. He comes in and he tries to put a wedge in relationships. He tries to raise a fence. And so we just come against a fence in Jesus' name. It's good. And financial provision. We need money for stuff. God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And as we honor him with our lives, he shows up. One thing I tell people often, it's just like if they are, when you're believers, one of the things that God says in the Bible so far as giving, tithing. If you really want to untie the hands of God, tithe. It's like wherever you're going to church, tithe. Because in Malachi he says, test me in this. It's the only place in the Bible where he says, see if I won't pour out, open up the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to contain it. I've got story after story over that. I see people nodding. It's just like, it's true. It shouldn't work, but it's a spiritual law. It's good. Anything else? We pray for mental health. Every mental health issue. In Jesus' name. Full and complete healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Want to take just a minute, if we can, just have a couple testimonies. Is that okay? And so we want to hear also, because we want to celebrate with you. It's like, okay, what has God done in your life? 2 minutes or less. And just kind of share us what is something that God has done in your life recently. We want to celebrate with you. Does anybody have a God story to tell? Come on, Maria. Come up here so people can see your face. I know how much you love it.
So it was maybe a month or two ago. I don't remember exactly because time just kind of blends. Pastor Dave had a... about a... This is my left shoulder that had been...
I'll interpret.
Thank you.
I got this. This is my jam.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
My left shoulder that actually had been hurting for, a number of years, to be honest. And Stacy came and laid hands on me as well. And it hasn't hurt since.
Yay!
At all. I mean...
That's so good.
When Stacy laid hands... Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. That's it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so
it was just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then one more.
Do it.
Another. It was last month. Anyway, I was looking, opening my mail, and you know how you get explanation of benefits for insurance? I don't want to see this. I know what it is. I was getting ready to tear it up, but something told me. God told me. I just opened it. So I opened it. Because it felt really thick, actually. And I'm going, I know what this is. So I'm looking through the paperwork. There's a check in there from my insurance company. I wasn't expecting a check from my insurance company.
Yay, aren't you glad you opened your mail?
I was. Yes, I did. Yes. So, anyway, and it was at a point where it's like, okay, Lord, I know you provide, and I'm not going to worry about it. But there was his provision.
That's so great.
Yay. I love stories like that. It's good. Does anybody else have a great God story? I know you do. Okay, come on up. Denise.
Although I've been wandering around and meeting new friends, this is my first church that I came to when I moved to Walla Walla. And it has continued to provide spiritual food from the Word for me. So I have to share what God's been doing. Fairly recently, I have to tag on to Maria's unexpected sons. Things had gotten a little bit tight, and I was thinking about getting something besides a cargo trailer to live in. I called it my nest. It sounds nicer. And I kept looking at little RVs and different things, and nothing was in the category. Well, I didn't want to empty out the savings account. I mean, there were the category, but I didn't want to use it all. So I kept saying, God, you know what I need. Well, I had been for about 2 years getting a letter occasionally from a lawyer's firm for one of my hair clients I've had way back when that said she'd put me in her will. Well, the last thing I'd heard was that the person she had appointed to take care of her estate hadn't done anything, and there wasn't anything to take care of. So I just kind of looked at him and thought, well, they have to go through a certain process. And so, and it was almost the thing I got probably 2 months ago. I got another letter from this lawyer, and I thought, this is so crazy. This has got to be the last one. They've got to be done with it. It took my dad's 2 years, too. So, but something in me just said, well, go ahead and open it, read it, see. And like Maria, I flipped the one page over, and there's a check. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding. Well, the interesting thing was, the day before, I had decided to purchase a little Aerolight RV and empty out my bank account the day before. So I took the young man to the parking lot of the bank, looked at the trailer, said, I'll take it, took him in, gave him the money, and that was that. So the next day, God decides to just surprise me to end a glorious hallelujahs. Basically, it looks like I only paid about $1,000 for my trailer.
Wow.
God is good.
So good. God's faithfulness, no matter where we find ourselves, he meets us there. Anybody else? You have time for one more. Okay, come on. It's a family thing.
So, hello, everybody. I'm Angie. I'm Maria's sister. I'm visiting from the west side. In 2006, I was in a car accident that fractured my cervical spine. I was in a coma for 6 days. Maria was there. At the time, I thought, I don't know what that meant, right? Am I ever going to walk again? I have a friend, very, very good friend, whose brother has the exact same injury I do. He was cliff diving when he was 17, fractured his cervical spine in the exact same place, has a plate in the same place I do, and he's in a wheelchair and has no use of his arms and legs. So I walk a little crooked and my hand doesn't work all the time properly. But they do work and I can walk because God said that I can. I've raised my daughter, who is now a young, amazing, beautiful adult. And God has placed into my care a beautiful toddler who, praise the Lord, I can run around after. So it's not just a blessing that I can walk, but the fact that I can be as old as I am now and still be able to raise that toddler is nothing but God. So praise to him. Yeah.
Yes. Yay, we're so glad to see you.
I just feel like, you know, God wants to further touch her body. You know, maybe God feels like you need more energy for the toddler. I don't know. But just stretch out your hands towards her. We're going to pray.
A mic thief. No. But I'm done. And so I just wanted to say good morning. We're so glad you're here and we can worship together. Take a minute. Say hi to each other. Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Okay. I'm going to do announcements now. Stay there.
And I forgot my announcements, so I'm going to follow what goes up on the screen. Okay, and go, James. And there it is. If you're new to Grace, or if you have got some things that are happening in your life, we'd love to know about it, because we want to pray for you and walk with you on that. If you don't have the phone app, please get that. If you need help getting that and downloading it on your phone, it's got all of our events, it's got notes, it's got all of that. Grace Notes is an email newsletter. It's nice and quick pace here. No, it's good. Grace Notes is our newsletter. You should tap into that. You can get that on our app, too. Prophetic prayer Monday nights starts at 5, goes to 6:30. And so we just want to invite you to come and join us. It's over in the fellowship hall. Come to the side door. The front's closed, but come to the side door. Join us. It's been going on for a long time. We'd love to have you. Celebrate Recovery is on Friday nights at 5:30, and it starts with a meal. And then large group, and then it breaks up into small groups, men and women. And that's just for anybody walking through issues. And if you breathe, you probably have issues. So you're invited. So, okay, child care is provided. Saturday night prayer goes from 5 to 6:30 here in the sanctuary. My house will be called a house of prayer, and we take it seriously. Okay? And his hands and feet. And I just found out that the meal prep is going to be for taco salad, right? They thumbs up from Stacy. So if you would like to help with that, then there's a day. It's going to be on August 19th. That's next Saturday. Serving lunch at the Sleep Center the next day. If serving lunch at the Sleep Center is something that you're interested in, please contact Stacy and Samuel, and they'll give you the lowdown on that. Service Project Day is going to be the following Saturday, the 26th. And that starts with a chapel service, 10:30 to noon, at Park Plaza. Super fun. Oh my gosh, we had a great time when we went last month. And then a community service time, and I need to visit with you, Stacy. I think I have a candidate for that. But if ever you know somebody that just needs some extra help, an extra set of hands and feet to do things around their home or to work on a special project, please let us know. We would love to work with you on that because, you know, saved people serve people. Just saying. Okay. And for more information, there's that. Men's breakfast. Go back to the men's breakfast. Don't. So men's breakfast on the 19th, 7 a.m. You thought church was early at 9. 7 a.m. Big breakfast. Go there. You have to buy your own. It's at the Blue. But I hear it's a great breakfast. So that's all I got, I think. No? Keep going. Okay. Thank you. Wild at Heart. Basic retreat. This is a men's retreat. The October 26th to the 29th, Double K Retreat Center. I don't know where that is. The cost is $225. Just past Cleelum. So if you need to stop off and see the Briggs or Peggy, there's right there. And full and partial scholarships are available. So if you'd like some more information on that, guys, talk to Raleigh. Raleigh, wave your hand. And he's always around. Okay, and there's more information on flyers in front. Am I done now? Okay, thank you. All right. Bless you, by the way. All right, so take a minute, say hi to each other, introduce yourself to somebody you haven't met before for just a second, and I'm going to take all the kids with me into the fellowship hall.
All right, go ahead and find a seat if you can. Shouldn't be a problem. Done did it. God is so good. Well, I'm going to receive the offering this morning. And I'm going to read a verse of scripture in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Love this verse of scripture. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Did you know that's what God thinks about you? He has good thoughts about you. He desires you to be in health. He desires for you to prosper as your soul prospers. You know, if that wasn't God's will, John wouldn't have prayed that prayer. But notice that this prosperity, it's as our souls prosper. As you prosper internally, you are able to steward well what happens to you externally. And a prosperous soul is a generous soul. Could we stand together? We're going to make our declaration this morning as we sow into the kingdom. There's a box in the back that you can put your tithes and offerings in. There it is. I declare breakthroughs are coming in my life. Sudden bursts of God's goodness, not a trickle, not a stream, but a flood of God's power, a flood of healing, a flood of wisdom, a flood of favor. I am a breakthrough person, and I choose to live breakthrough-minded. I am expecting God to overwhelm me with His goodness and amaze me with His favor. This is my declaration. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I felt like when I was praying here last night, I felt like God mentioned highlighted to me a right foot, kind of in the middle toe areas. It like there's pain or cramping or something like that. Does anybody experience that in your right foot? Is that you? Okay. How long have you had that?
Since my car accident.
Really? Oh, this is so cool. Could I pray for you? Puedo orar por ti?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Again, I would love it.
Okay. So. How long, so it's ever since, when was the car accident?
July
2016,
July
5th, you said? Okay.
2006, yeah.
Can I put my hand on your, yeah. Okay, so right foot, stretch out your hands. Father, we just thank you for your healing power right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to touch this foot. I ask you to touch the toes. I speak to the muscles, bones, ligaments, and tendons. I command you to be healed right now in Jesus' name. I command all pain to leave. I command every symptom related to that injury to be totally healed right now in Jesus' name. Let this foot function, God, the way you designed it to function in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, does it feel any different to you? And
when you guys prayed over me earlier, I felt heat.
Yes.
Through my entire
yes.
body.
Yeah. Okay. Isn't God amazing?
Yes.
Isn't it fun being a Christian? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me pray for you. God is so amazingly good. Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles today to Psalm 149. Got so many papers here. The book of Psalms, 149, the next to the last psalm. A four-year-old came into the dentist for his first checkup. The dentist tried to strike up a conversation. "How old are you?" he asks. Immediately, the four small fingers went up. Smiling, the dentist asked, "Can't you talk?" To which the small boy replied, "Why, can't you count?" I think it was an honest question. A teenage girl had been talking on the phone for about a half an hour when she hung up. "Wow," said her father, "that was short. You usually talk for 2 hours. What happened?" "Wrong number," explained the girl. I heard Rick laugh. You almost laughed like you had teenage girls. All right, Psalm 149. I want to continue a message that I started a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about praise as a weapon. And so I want to give you a biblical basis for that again and use a couple stories from the scriptures to illustrate it. You know, one of the things that I love about God and the Bible is that the Bible just doesn't teach you things and say certain things, but there are always stories, living stories, to illustrate the reality of what it says. And so let's begin by reading this psalm in its entirety. The psalm begins with these words, "Praise the Lord." And it ends with those same three words. And it's pretty much all about praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. You know, when the Old Testament talks about a new song, it's equivalent to the New Testament when it says spiritual songs. Singing unto the Lord psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What is a new song? It's a song that's never been sung before. It's a song that's not in a book somewhere or being projected on the overhead. It's a song that is spontaneously coming from your heart to the Lord and His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all His saints. Praise the Lord. Could we pray? Father, we want to know and to understand Your ways, Lord, in such a way that we can cooperate with You in releasing Your kingdom. Lord, open our understanding to the application of Your ways in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read the last four verses of this passage one more time. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, it's talking about two different things here, but both of them are weapons. What is a two-edged sword? Well, we know from Hebrews 4:12 that the Bible, the Word of God, is a two-edged sword. We also know that that when we put on our armor, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So we're talking about the Word of God, but we're also talking about praise on our lips. He is encouraging us to a lifestyle of praise. Now, we've all been called to that. We are all called to offer the sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, in this passage in Psalm 149, He is talking about the saints. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. He is not only encouraging us to a lifestyle of praise, but He is revealing what it will do around us, what actually happens in the spirit realm when we praise the Lord, what it does in relation to the enemy. There is a purpose even beyond exalting God in praise. So this is what happens around us when we praise Him. Versículo 7, verse 7. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all His saints. Praise the Lord. To bind the kings and the nobles of the heathen. These kings and nobles are principalities and powers. We are talking about spiritual forces here. We are talking about the kingdom of darkness being bound and restricted because of God's praises being on our lips. We're talking about stifling the influence of the enemy, of the kingdom of darkness, simply by praising God. To execute on them the written judgment, this honor, this privilege is for all the saints. Every one of us has this privilege, and it has to do with his praise being in our mouth and a clear understanding from the Word of God, the two-edged sword. We're talking about weapons, but specifically the weapon of praise. A couple weeks ago, we were looking at Acts 16, and we were looking at the story of Paul and Silas there. When they were actually breaking into a new city with the message of Christ, they were actually breaching a new continent with the gospel. And they encountered new warfare with geographical principalities and powers. There was an opposition to the message they shared. They ended up beaten and thrown in jail and in stocks. It sounds like the enemy has been very effective here at stopping the gospel. What did they do? What do you do when the enemy hits you? What do you do when you experience opposition? Well, they sang praises to God. It was around midnight. They lifted up their voices and they just began singing to the Lord. The praises of God was in their mouth. And suddenly, the earth began to quake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the prison doors opened and everyone's chains fell off. Now the keeper of the prison woke up. He saw the doors open. He thought the prisoners had escaped and he was about to kill himself. But Paul hollered at him and said, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Now remember, we are talking about the praises of God binding spiritual forces and actually changing atmospheres. When Paul and Silas lifted up their voices and began to sing praises to God, yes, there was something that happened in the natural. There was like an earthquake, and there were doors that opened, and there were stocks that fell off. There were things that happened in the natural, but there was also something that happened in the spiritual realm. Now, here is the first clue. Something happened in the spirit realm. It was this. The jailer ran in trembling and said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he and his whole household, they were saved. Now, in your notes, we need to understand the relationship between praise and the advance of the kingdom. The dynamics that resulted here, not just the freedom of Paul and Silas from jail, but the salvation of a jailer and his whole family, the establishment of a church, the spread of the gospel through Greece and then on through Europe. Something happened here that bound the opposition of the enemy. You know, we sang it today. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah, heaven comes to fight for me. One of the things that is so wonderful about this kind of warfare, it's this: we don't focus on the enemy. We focus on the one who deserves our attention. We focus on him and praise him and glorify him. We give thanks to him, and it binds the enemy. It restricts his activity around us. In 1 Chronicles chapter 25 and several other related passages that we see in the Old Testament, we know that David implemented an order of worship that was unprecedented in all the history of Israel. With the introduction of musical instruments into worship, the hymnal that evolved out of that we call the Book of Psalms, David understood the power of praise and worship. He had dedicated singers and musicians who prophesied on trumpets and harps. They worshiped before the Lord 24/7. Now, it's no accident that the geographical boundaries of Israel, they increased to their widest dimension simultaneously with the introduction and implementation of the largest dimension of musical expression in Israel's history. We are talking about praise and worship and the advance of the kingdom. So we could say the manifestation of the kingdom of God, as it was in that stage of redemptive history through a nation called Israel, it reached its greatest boundaries and proportions. It experienced its greatest victories simultaneously with the introduction and implementation of the largest dimension of musical expression. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. You know, there's a verse of scripture that I've often pondered. It's found in Psalm 144, verse 1. David said, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." What was he talking about? Was he talking about using a sword? My fingers for battle. Or was he talking about playing a musical instrument? Warfare. Binding the enemy. Releasing the kingdom. So what is the application of this for us? You know, there is a dimension of worship that God is leading his church into. There is coming a broader understanding of the priority and the power of worship. I'm talking about the presence of God that is welcomed by the worship of his people, that begins to release the kingdom, kingdom life, great victory, spiritual transformation. In your notes, spiritual victories that are the result of the progressive binding of the powers of darkness so that they can no longer resist the intrusion of the flow of the life of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say is God has given us song more than just for a point of participation when we come together, more than to unify us at the beginning of the service, more than just to lift our hearts with inspiration. He has given us song as a means not only by which we may exalt him, but by exalting him, there may come this welcomed entry of his ruling power in the life of the church, where he comes among us in power, releasing the kingdom. Psalm 22, verse 3, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." How many here, your first Bible was the King James Version? Okay, look at that, most of us. One of the first scriptures I memorized, because I started with the King James Bible, and one of the first verses I memorized with it was this, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God dwells in, he inhabits the praises of his people. Some translations say he is enthroned in the praises of his people. Praise is the place where God sets up his throne. Now, a throne is the place where a king rules from. It is a place where he releases his will from. As we praise and worship God, Jesus the King comes and he sets up his throne in our midst to rule and reign in our midst, to release his kingdom. to release salvation, to release healing, to release deliverance, to release joy, to release peace. You know, I believe that God is calling us not just to a fresh appreciation of the joy of worship, certainly to that, but to an understanding of its power and its application to the situations of our lives. And not just in the corporate time, not just on Sunday morning when the worship team is playing, but all the time in our daily, day-to-day living. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you guys doing okay? Okay, do you need to stand and stretch or anything? John, would you come and lead us in some calisthenics? No. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have this powerful story that illustrates the very thing that we are talking about today. Three nations, the people of Moab, the people of Ammon, the people of Mount Seir, they join together to come and battle against Jehoshaphat. Now, someone came and told Jehoshaphat that a great multitude is coming against you from Syria. Three armies have joined forces to come and dislodge Israel from their inheritance, their promised land. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat was afraid. Is there anybody here that's ever been afraid? Five of you. You know, the Bible does say, fear not, over and over again. We don't have to be afraid. But when we are afraid, it's important that we do what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So all of Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat began to pray in the house of the Lord. Everyone is gathered together. I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 6. This is Jehoshaphat's prayer. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might, so there is no one able to withstand you? Aren't you God? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your namesake, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us for not destroying them by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. After Jehoshaphat prayed that prayer, all of Judah, the little ones, their wives, and their children, they all stood before the Lord waiting. God, what are you going to do? Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And this is what God said, excuse me, starting in verse 15. Listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. You know, a word of the Lord, a word from God changes everything. God said, don't be afraid or dismayed because of this great army that's coming against you. The battle is mine. You will not need to fight in this battle. But position yourselves to see the salvation of God. Tomorrow you will go out against them. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Everyone first bowed before the Lord and worshiped him. Then some of the Levites stood up to praise the Lord with voices loud and high. Verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Jehoshaphat spoke words of encouragement to them. He said, believe in the Lord their God, and they would be established. What that means is, no one would be able to come along and dislodge them from the promised land that God had given them. As you believe his prophets, God will prosper and bless you. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, it's important that we catch what's going on here. God said, the battle is mine. You will not even need to fight in this battle. However, position yourselves. Put yourself in a position to see the salvation of God. Put yourself in a position for heaven to fight for you. So they sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They put the choir out before the army. Now the army had swords and shields. The choir didn't have that. And yet, that was the very key to this victory. So they're marching towards the enemy camp. The singers singing praises to God. And I remember, praise is a weapon that binds the enemy. So what happened? Let's take a look at that. I'm reading in verse 22. Is anyone bored with this story yet? Should we stop? Good, right answer. Verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise, praise is a weapon. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. And they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So they began to sing praises to God, and they're marching towards this army that's coming to destroy them. The choir is out front singing praises to God, and while that's happening, the Lord sets ambushes against the enemy. And they began to fight each other and destroy one another. Because God said, you won't even have to fight. This battle is mine. And they didn't have to fight, at least not physically. It turns out the only warfare God wanted them to do was to praise Him. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Verse 24, so when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. It took them 3 days to gather the spoils of these armies that consisted of three nations. So these three armies gathered together to destroy Israel, but God turned it around as they lifted up their voice and praised Him, and instead He gave to Israel the wealth of three nations. What the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for good. You know, when you read stories like this in the Bible, it causes verses like this to make more sense. I'm reading Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance. Songs that bring deliverance. Songs that bind the enemy and release the kingdom. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Now, I've got three more scriptures I'd like us to look at this morning that also talk about song, that talk about praise. This is a kingdom thing. You know, when we talk about weapons, we normally think of, from a biblical perspective, we think of the Word of God, we think of the name of Jesus, we think of the blood of Jesus, we think of certain things like that. But in truth, one of the most powerful weapons that God has given us is just the ability to praise Him in the midst of, doesn't matter what's going on in our life. If we want to invite heaven to come, we just lift up our voice and praise Him. Now, Isaiah 54 contains another powerful understanding about praise, about kingdom strategy. And it has to do with barrenness. Have you ever felt unfruitful in an area of your life? Do you have areas of barrenness in your life? This is what God says to do about it. Verse 1, sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Sing, O barren one. It's really a ridiculous proposition to suggest that a barren Israelite woman rejoice. In that culture, it would have been very hard to do. You know, today, if you desire to have children and are unable to, that would certainly be understandably disappointing. But at least you wouldn't be mocked by society or have a religious finger pointed at you, implying that there's something wrong with you, that the shame and the rejection you would feel. And yet he says, sing, O barren. You who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. If you sing, you will bring forth. If you sing, you're going to have more children than the woman who isn't barren. In fact, you are going to be so fruitful that you will have to enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, because you will expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. If you sing in your barrenness, if you break forth into singing, you will not only bring forth, but you will need to enlarge the place of your tent. You're going to expand to the right and the left. Sing, O barren one. If you sing, you will bring forth. Now, that's an interesting statement, especially if we apply it to the barrenness we experience in our lives at times. The areas where fruit doesn't seem to come, we so wish that it would. The fruit of salvation for our loved ones. The dreams and the desires that you carry. Desires and aspirations that you have that are not unspiritual. As we look at the barrenness of things, where something has not happened that you longed to see come to pass, how do you treat those things? How do you respond? What do you do with them? I believe he's telling us how to treat those things and how to see the power of God enter into those areas, and that is to sing over them the praises of God. To praise God in the midst of our barrenness, to sing and to rejoice in over the barren areas of our lives. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. Can I invite the worship team to come? Yes?
Could I say something?
Sure.
It feels pretty strong, so I think I better.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's concerning Psalm 32:7, where it said, "You are my hiding place, you preserve me from trouble, and you shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Well, over 25 years ago, this is the 25th year, the Lord delivered me from things from my past. And He surrounded me with songs of deliverance. He surrounded me before it happened, giving me Isaiah 61. Repeatedly, over and over, I would hear that song. And then after my deliverance, that night on the way home, He gave me a song, and I didn't want to sing it because I didn't like that song. But I felt so much like singing. I was so full of joy. I couldn't understand it, but I felt like singing, and I had to sing. I had to sing. And this was the only song that came to my mind after being in church most of my life, and all the songs I learned, I could only sing this one song. This was the only one there. So I sung it. And then I sung it at the top of my lungs, all the way home. And now if I can remember, God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song, with healing in their hand. Everlasting joy with gladness in their heart. And in this army, I've got a part. Amen. And I sung that over and over and over. And when I got home, it was my favorite song. But that's not the end of it. I went to bed, and in the morning, in my mind, I woke up to a song. The loudest thing I have ever heard in my head. You have broken the chains that held our captive souls. You have broken the chains and use them on your foes. All your enemies are bound. They tremble at the sound of your name. Jesus, you have broken the chains. Jesus, you have broken the chains.
Yes, powerful.
2 years later, I heard this in church. To my knowledge, when I first heard it in my bed that morning, I didn't recall ever hearing it before. I didn't know that it was a song already out there. But when I heard it in church, if you don't mind, I could sing that part too.
Sure.
Oh God, Most High, Almighty King.
You want me to hold that?
Okay. The champion of heaven, Lord of everything. You fought, you've won. Death lost its sting, and standing in your victory, we sing. You have broken the chains that held our captive souls. You have broken the chains and used them on your foes. All your enemies are bound. They tremble at the sound of your name. Jesus, you have broken the chains. Jesus, you have broken the chains.
Amen.
The power of hell has been undone. Captivity held captive by the risen one. And in the name of God's great Son, we claim the mighty victory you won. You have broken the chains that held our captive souls. You have broken the chains and used them on your foes. All your enemies are bound. They tremble at the sound of your name. Jesus, you have broken the chains.
Yes.
Jesus, you have broken the chains. But those chains weren't just what they were is from my past. I had been crying 5 days earlier in my room and over things that happened when I was a child. And I said, God, isn't it time I get over this? And 5 days later, the Lord delivered me from those things.
Praise God.
And I believe the songs helped seal it. And so I was also delivered from fears, and that wasn't even mentioned in the prayer or anything. But I realized that I no longer had a fear of heights. I no longer had a fear of flying in a plane. And I no longer had fear of death. So God delivered me in great ways.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that.
All right.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Praise God. worship team. I just want to invite you to join me in understanding the power of praise, the power of song, the power of rejoicing. It has been given to us to release the life of the kingdom. It is an instrument for driving back darkness and introducing light. When we come with simplicity of heart and worship with abandonment, with childlike simplicity and openness before God. Could we stand together this morning? I just want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I will offer the sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of my lips giving thanks to your name. I will proclaim your praises. You have called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. My lips shall declare your greatness, your goodness. You are my God. I will praise you with my whole heart. Use me, Lord. Use my life to give glory to you. In Jesus' name.
Louder.
Heaven
little louder.
In the presence of my enemies,
sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief,
sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody,
sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me,
sing a little louder.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Oh, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
Raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Samuel brought me a scripture that he felt like we needed to be focused on. Who will come from Mount Zion to rescue Israel? When the Lord restores his people, Jacob will shout with joy and Israel will rejoice. You know, I would encourage you to spend some time in the Psalms. Catch the heart of David for worship. There's just so much in there about that. I believe God is saying, I want you to understand how the kingdom of God operates and what your true weapons are and how to use them, how to be effective as you use them. This is me talking. Praise is a powerful weapon that God has given us in the midst of the opposition of the enemy, in the midst of a situation that would normally bring frustration or discouragement, or even in the midst of areas of our lives that are barren, that we don't know what to do with. Well, God says, just begin to sing, O barren one, and you will bring forth. I'm going to invite prayer teams to come this morning. The benediction I want to give you is Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you, saints.